While we're waiting for people to come, do any of you have any questions you'd like to ask to start off the evening? Yes, please.
Yes, the meaning of putting the palms together in a slight bow, what is that?
It's a variety of things. It's a form of greeting. It's a form of greeting with respect. That's kind of the basic one. Some people infuse that gesture with other meanings or other feelings. A common one is a feeling of gratitude. Sometimes it's infused with a feeling of reverence for what we're bowing to. Many people in the West know it by the Hindu name, Sanskrit name, namaste, which means people interpret it to mean you're bowing to the divine within you. So if you bow to somebody, you're bowing to that divine aspect of the other person. That's kind of more coming from Hinduism. In Buddhism, respect, greeting, hello, it expresses something different than a handshake. A handshake, you know, or a wave, hi there, or a handshake, you know, certainly very significant forms of greeting, of acknowledging of someone else. But something else is expressed this way. Kind of you put your hand in front of your heart or in front of your head and expresses something. And for different people, it expresses different things. For me, at the end of a sitting, I often like to do it mostly as an expression of gratitude. I feel very grateful when I sit and sort of kind of give expression to that gratitude. Sometimes I bow out of respect, out of appreciation for the person I'm bowing to. Sometimes I feel some real appreciation for people. And it's nice to bow to the person and bow to that which I appreciate.
Thank you. Last week, the five faculties, one of them was itself mindfulness, and yet I thought that these were five things that sort of supported mindfulness. So I got a little confused that it was included in the things that support itself.
I might have said that, and maybe that's a little bit contradictory then. The five faculties are the five capacities of the mind that come into play when someone meditates, or comes into play when someone's engaged in any activity. And when someone's engaged in meditation practice, they come into play And when we meditate, one of the things we do is practice mindfulness. But as we practice mindfulness, the other four come into play, the other four support that, or come into play also. You can't practice mindfulness without some degree of confidence. You can't practice it without some degree of effort or applying yourself. So they work as a system together. Is that helpful? Maybe as a group of five, they support meditation. They support any activity, and we can apply them to mindfulness, to meditation. When the meditation practice is mindfulness meditation, then maybe strictly we would say the other four then support the mindfulness. Other questions before we start? This might be your only chance tonight. So, yes?
I was thinking about this on the way up here driving, whether there were any situations where obstacles to clear seeing were not one of the five hindrances. And I couldn't think of one. So I just wanted to know if that's true.
Mm-hmm. I haven't thought about it too much, but my tendency is to think that there are other obstacles than the five hindrances to clear seeing. So, for example, there are certain kinds of attachments, being attached to your opinions, that don't necessarily fit so smoothly into one of the five hindrances, or being attached to a sense of self.
Uh, I actually labeled those as attraction or
as desire. It depends how broad you want to make some of these categories. One of the interesting ones is, where does fear fit in? And because fear is very powerful for many people, and it's not listed as one of the five hindrances. And the usual way of taking care of fear is to slot it into as a form of aversion, the second hindrance. And interestingly enough, boredom is also sometimes explained as a form of aversion. So everything else has been crystal clear? And in your own meditation practice, you know exactly what to do, and you're completely content and sailing away. Yes.
Last week, when you spoke about concentration practice as repression practice, that really struck me, and I think I've been repressing a lot. So currently, in my meditation practice, I've been doing more mindfulness, but sometimes I don't know what component it is. I feel like sometimes if I'm just still and I don't know what I'm contemplating really, but I feel like in the beginning, I don't know where I'm not concentrating on the breath or really being super mindful of stuff, but I don't know what the component of me just being still and not even thinking about anything.
Yeah.
And how you said being... I'm wondering how, you know, how you said for people who live busy lives, that you said receptive awareness is often like a little bit more adaptable, or I don't know quite what my question is. Maybe I've been having difficulty in my practice because I lead a very busy life, and I'm like, is this even meditation practice? Just sometimes I just feel like sitting and not doing anything, but just being erect and not even like being conscious of anything or.
So there are many different ways of meditating, and a little bit you can think of medicine as being meditation as being a medicine, and so you apply different medicines, different meditations for different illnesses, different situations. Some people who live very busy lives or very active minds find that what's most useful in meditation is to do concentration practice in order to still the mind, to quiet, bring calm and steadiness back to the mind. Some people find it's more useful to do mindfulness. Some people find it's useful to do both. In daily life, it might be more useful to do mindfulness. And then some people find meditation is good to do some calming practice so they can go with some modicum of calm back into their life where they do mindfulness. Some people prefer not to do either mindfulness or concentration, but do a practice which can be called just a being practice, just to be. And not to make any effort at all at knowing anything or paying attention. No effort at all to get concentrated, but just kind of unconditionally let themselves just be as they are, not try to stop thoughts, not try to stop feelings, you know, anything, just to be with whatever's going on. However, in that being, not to interfere, not to get involved. So a thought arises, the person doesn't get involved in that thought, doesn't react to it. So just a kind of being with what is. And some schools of Buddhism, like Zen, puts a big premium on that practice. It's a beautiful practice to be done. And sometimes people who are too technique-oriented in mindfulness practice, they're always all about doing and trying to manipulate and figure out and no, are good. It's good for them to kind of take a break for a while and just do a being practice. Don't do anything at all. Let go of any attempt to do anything, including the doing of getting distracted. And that can provide a very different perspective on our life and a great refuge, a great source of peace. And then at some point, see, being practice can only take a person so far. At some point it becomes a dead end. And at some point then, in order to go further, the person has to add back in the knowing part of the mind, the cognitive part, the mindfulness part. And it's mindfulness which can take you all the way to liberation. So depending on what the medicine is needed, sometimes you might do concentration, sometimes mindfulness, sometimes just being practice. It's Sometimes you do loving kindness practice. There's a variety of things. And part of a discerning spiritual life is to have the discernment to know what is the appropriate medicine for you at any given time. That make some sense? Now, each of the schools, each kind of meditation in Buddhism has associated with it, or tends to have associated with it, a religion, a Buddhist religion. So like just being sometimes is associated with Zen. Zen is a whole philosophy and metaphysics around how that's the ultimate practice, just to be. Other schools put tremendous emphasis on concentration and have a whole philosophy to support that. Some schools have emphasized mindfulness, have a whole religion that just kind of champions mindfulness. And in the Theravada tradition, we don't particularly champion any particular form of meditation, but see them all as tools that are quite adaptable and use them as appropriate. Use them according to the view and medicine that needs to be addressed. Does that make some sense? Okay. So we're going to sit for a while. So if you'd like to stand for a moment so that your legs are limber and loose for the next period. So, taking a alert posture, gently closing your eyes, and one of the guides for meditation practice is our ability to sense or feel or experience ease. So as you sit here, feeling your body, let yourself be at ease. Either pushing anything away or holding on to anything, just at ease with what is, at ease in your body, at ease with your thoughts and concerns, at ease with your feelings. At ease with whatever unease you might be feeling. And perhaps as a way of bringing more ease and presence to your experience, you can take a few long, slow, deep breaths. So you stretch your rib cage a little bit, stretch your area of your shoulders and shoulder blades, gently, feeling a greater presence here in this body. And as you exhale, to settle into yourself more, letting go, relaxing. a deep, gentle breathing in to oneself. Here you are, here. And then letting your breath return to normal. And without any special effort to breathe in any particular way, take a few moments to become familiar with what it feels like for your body to be breathing, as if you've never noticed your breath before. Feel your breathing, explore it. Feeling it from the inside the experience of breathing. And then as you are familiar with your breathing, still maintaining a natural breath, see if there's some really simple and obvious ways to adjust the way you're breathing so that it's more comfortable or more pleasant even. It's as if the range of a normal breath, as if there's a range to normal breathing that allows some small adjustments that keep it still easy, natural. So for example, maybe just breathing in a little bit more fully, or perhaps breathing out a little bit more completely. Not forcing or pushing, but like just hanging in there with the out-breath a little bit longer than you normally would. Or perhaps by relaxing the belly, softening your belly, maybe then it's more comfortable to breathe. Or perhaps by breathing a little bit more, a little bit slower, or a little bit faster. Maybe it becomes more comfortable to breathe. Perhaps it can be a little bit more comfortable if before you breathe in again, you let there be an instant of a pause. Not forcing a gap, but letting just kind of linger for a very slight moment so you don't breathe in immediately after breathing out. Maybe that's more adds a little comfort. The more comfortable the breathing, the more likely it is that the mind wants to stay with the breathing. There are times when the breath doesn't feel particularly comfortable or pleasant, and that's okay. And there are also times when the breath can feel intensely pleasurable. And then it becomes a lot easier to stay present for it. possible, enjoying your breathing. Perhaps enjoying the simplicity and the stillness of just being here with no demands, no one asking anything of you except to be present, to be still and to be quiet. And in the midst of that, enjoying the simple act of breathing, breathing in and breathing out. Being present for the in-breath and noticing what it feels like when you switch over from breathing in to breathing out. Noticing what it feels like when you switch over from breathing out to breathing in. If the mind keeps wanting to wander away, you might very gently say to yourself, here, here. Not as a command, but as a reminder that this is where you are. Here is a human being. Here is where you find what it's like to be a human being in the present moment. Just here. Here is a human being who's thinking. Or feeling, or listening. Not to be in conflict with any of your experience, but rather to be present in the midst of it, here. Using the word here to encourage and train yourself to be present for the lived experience. And if possible, entering into the world of breathing, breathing in and breathing out. And as you're sitting here, be attentive that you're not in conflict with anything. Not struggling against anything or judging anything negatively. There's no need for any conflict. Letting things be as they are, in the midst of the present experience, breathing. Breathing in and breathing out. Not pushing anything away, but letting the breath be the center of your universe. letting yourself be at ease, not pushing, not straining, not being in conflict with what is, but at ease. And the simplest meditation instruction is as follows. Let yourself be at ease, and then notice whatever takes you away from that. And if possible, let go of the forces within you, the thoughts, the beliefs, the feelings that somehow diminish your sense of ease. Even if you're uncomfortable, there can be ease with that. Physical discomfort, the mind can still be quite easeful. Let yourself be at ease and let go of anything that gets in the way of the ease. Staying with the breath, allowing the breathing to help you let go of anything that gets in the way of your ease. The mind wanders away in thought. Let go as you exhale. Each exhale, relax the thinking mind. noticing the movements of the mind away from ease or to any greater sense of unease, and see if you can let go of that movement, coming back to the present, coming back to some form of ease, peace. So we'll sit for another 2 minutes or so. In the last couple of minutes, kind of sit back in your mind and review what this sitting was like. What was your experience? What was your practice like? What did you learn? Can you review a little bit about the presence of the five faculties or the five hindrances? Were they strong or weak?